Because the more we walk with God in the earth, the more blessed we are, the more peaceful life is, the better life is. So we want to start here. We don't want to just live any dumb way we want to, and then when we die, go to heaven. No, we want to start living in days of heaven on the earth.
In these uncertain times, is there a way for you and your family to live in peace and security? Find out as Gloria Copeland and the Copeland Girls bring you a special message on today's Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. I have some distinguished guests with me today, the girls. The Copeland Girls are together again. This is Kelly Copeland Swisher, Terry Pearsons, and Marty Copeland. And we're just sharing from our heart some things about awakening. Awakening. We're saying to ourselves, wake up. You know, you wake up. It's time to wake up. And that's what the scripture says. So let me read you some good scriptures about that. In Ephesians, let's look at Romans 13 first. In Romans 13, 11. And that knowing, well, let's see, we're probably going to talk about love some, but let's look at verse 16, because that's our commandment. We mentioned it yesterday. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time that now is, it is high time to awake out of sleep. It's high time to wake up. Knowing the time that now it is high time to wake up out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed.
Can I read that out of the New Living?
Yeah, I do.
Verse 11 says, this, and walking in love, this is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is almost gone, and the day of salvation will soon be here. So we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see.
Amen. Verse 12 says in the King James, the night is far spent. In other words, the time is late. The hour is late. The day is at hand. The day is at hand. Now, I believe that with all my heart. Jesus is coming soon. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So it's time for us now to live after a renewed, get our spirits born again, live after a renewed mind, and wake up to how God says to move and to live. And walk in the light. Walk in the light. It's time. Mm-hmm. It's time. You know, I believe Jesus is going to come in my lifetime. But if he doesn't come, I'm going to leave this earth sometime or other. And I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to have a welcoming party when I make it through the gates of heaven. You say, well, that's pretty presumptuous. No, it's not really presumptuous if you know the word, because we know that if we make Jesus the Lord of our lives, then we are born again. And that spiritual death is put out of us and the life of God comes into us. So whether going to heaven or not going to heaven, that's an issue that you can solve with the word of God. If you take Jesus as your Savior, you walk in the Word, you walk in the light, you're going to make it. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And then he is merciful to those that have missed it, those born-again people that have missed it. There's a mercy of God. Hallelujah. But we don't want to miss it, because the more we walk with God in the earth, the more blessed we are, the more peaceful life is, the better life is. So we want to start here. We don't want to just live any dumb way we want to, and then when we die, go to heaven. No, we want to start living in days of heaven on the earth. And this love walk is a key to it, that love works no ill toward its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So when we walk in love, we are walking in the Lord. We're walking in the will of God. You say, well, I don't know where God wants me to move. I don't know where he wants me to work. I don't know what he wants me to do with my life. Well, start here. We know that he wants you to walk in love. We know that he wants you to be born again, be filled with the Spirit, and then walk in the love of God. Hallelujah. So the time is late. The days are short. And we don't know how short, but we know that our days are short because you're probably not going to live far over 100, however old you are. And time flies when you're having fun.
You know, I was just thinking about, and I believe it's Hebrews 4:12 where it talks about the Word of God is alive, it's quick. The Word of God quickens you.
That's right.
I mean, it wakes you up.
It wakes you up. That's exactly
so if you're,
right.
If you're, you know, I was thinking about yesterday on the broadcast, we were talking about praying an hour a day, and I was sitting here thinking, you know, that might overwhelm some people that aren't praying at all, and yet the Word of God and that time with prayer anchors our soul. And you were talking about being concerned about John and being, you know, worried and uptight, I think bothered. He still bothers me every now and then.
Pray.
No, I'm just playing. But you know, when you're upset, whether it's finances or stress or whatever, you have to have the Word of God to anchor your mind, your will, your emotions, and then that word quickens you.
It wakes you up to whatever you're seeking.
It
absolutely wakes you up because you begin to see the dark way and you begin to see the light way, and you kind of get out of the twilight zone and go God's way. And it does, then the word illuminates you. You know, the word brings light. So as you get in the word and you find out the will of God, and walking in that, that's what makes you free. What does the Bible say? You'll know the truth. When will you know the truth? When you get in this word and find out what it says. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And that is exactly what happened in my life. I mean, I didn't know anything about the Bible. I'd been taught wrong about it. I didn't come from Bible people that had revelation. They were good people, fine people, but they didn't have revelation of the Word. When I began to hear the truth from the Word of God and to take it literally, and I got hungry for it, man, I began to change. My life began to change. The joy of the Lord just is a natural part of that. It's walking in the light. It's putting on the armor of light. It's awakening to the Word of God. That's really what changed me. I was born again a little while before there was much change in my life because I didn't know. I was changed on the inside, but on my actions, my outer man, things didn't change much because I didn't know anything. I was amazingly ignorant about the things of God. But when I began to find out to take the Word literally, that I can, you know, any day, any hour of the day, any day of the week, I can go to the Word of God and I can see what God says. That is awesome.
And the lights
privilege.
Come on.
And
the
you
lights
wake
come
up
on
in that
and
area.
Wakes you up.
But, you know, people, I think they have all those questions that you mentioned. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to work. I don't know where I'm supposed to live. I don't know what to do with my family. I don't know what to do about my finances. And the Lord wants them awaken to the fact that he has those answers. And he said he would give them to us. He said in John that he would show us things to come.
Exactly.
He'll
right.
speak to us. He will awaken. But we have to awaken to the Word, to his presence. I love this in verse 14. It says, instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. There is a process for us clothing ourselves with his presence and in his information, because he has all those answers for us. But we have to awaken to it. And I think that in Ephesians is a great place to start for that awakening to a process for him doing what happened to you and doing what happened to Dad. And the way we grew up was just to turn to the Lord for our answers. You taught us that.
You didn't know anything else.
We didn't know anything else, but we've been able to teach our children even to a greater depth of trust in the Lord and looking to Him to guide them in everything.
Every generation has more opportunity. Mm-hmm. And we have, what do we have, 9 grandchildren? 1, 2, 3, not any lately, but we're expecting more before long. 9 grandchildren, 3 children, 9 grandchildren. And, you know, everyone, the oldest grandchild is how old?
29.
And the youngest is?
Just turned seven.
And every one of the grandchildren followed the Lord. Every one of them. We don't have a rebellious grandchild or spouse in this family. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Because they've been raised on the Word of God. And what we've learned, they've learned. And they didn't have to wait until later in life to find out the truth. They were raised on the truth. Now, did they have to take it? No, they didn't have to take it. But you train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. That is a fact.
I tell you, mothers need to wake up to this.
That's
because
right.
If we don't get a hold of our children and train them in the light and
that's
in the truth, we...
Right.
Are not going to go the direction that we want to go. And I am so constantly surprised when I'm out in public at the lack of teaching and training that children are getting today. I was in the beauty salon a few days ago because, you know, when you do the broadcast, you have to tighten up everything. You have to get your hair done and your nails done because you want to look pretty. I mean, I haven't shaved my legs for crying out loud.
Oh, no. Has it come to that?
But I was in the salon, and there was this little girl sitting right across from me. I was getting ready to get a pedicure. And it was the mom.
Shall we put the camera on your toes?
Yeah, show my little flowers. There was a mother, a little girl in the middle, and a grandmother. And I'm facing them. So I'm sitting there, and I'm just, you know, it's a break for me to be there. It's quiet there. and I was just sitting there and, you know, listening to the Lord. We're getting ready to do the broadcast this week. So I'm just in that mode, you know, and I was looking at them, and I was thinking, there's 3 generations right there. Mm-hmm. I wonder what their story is. You know, kind of getting ready to get some revelation on this family. Well, this little girl talked nonstop the whole time, and at first she was cute. I thought, well, she kind of reminds me of Alex, because Alex talks all the time. And don't say I wonder where she gets that. But anyway, she talked and talked and talked, and the point is that after about 10 or 15 minutes,
it was so cute, and
I'm not being ugly. I just am explaining in the lack of training that this child had. It was annoying. The people that worked there were annoyed. The grandmother was totally annoyed. And this little girl would say, "What's this, Meemaw? It's polish. What color is it? It's pink. Why?" And just on and on and on and on. And this went on for 40 minutes. I kid you not. And after about 30 minutes, the woman that worked there, the little girl dropped the bottle of polish on the ground and it almost broke. And the woman that worked there said to her, "Listen, you need to put that polish down and you don't need to play with the polish." That was the first word in almost 40 minutes of instruction that this child gave, and she was totally unruled and totally untrained. And you know, the Lord says, train up a child mm-hmm. in the way that they'll go, and they'll not depart from it. And I was thinking, you know, this mother and grandmother love her. They really do love her. They'd probably give their life for her.
They indulge her, probably.
But they're not loving her with the kind of mature love, the godly love, that is willing to not spare the rod and let her be spoiled and unruly. And, you know, this sounds like, well, that's a cute story about this little unruly child, but let's look at where that will lead this child down the road. She's going to start school in a couple of years, and she's not going to be able to control what she says. She's not going to be used to people telling her no. She's not going to want to sit still. So this lack of the fruit of the Spirit, this lack of light that her parents have taught her, is going to impact her self-esteem. It's going to impact who she thinks she is and what she believes about herself, because everyone around her is going to respond to her differently than her mother and grandmother.
That's
and
right.
So that lack of discipline, if it goes unchecked, will go into the teenage years, will go into the college years. Mm-hmm. And without the fruit of the Spirit and the light of God's Word and this love that disciplines our children, these are the children that, should Jesus tarry, are going to be running our country in the next generation. And we're already challenged right now by the state that we're in. We're having to walk by faith, you know, believing God for the future of our country. And I was thinking, when you were talking about love earlier, about, I was thinking, you know, we're not feeling the love in this, you know, saying, I'm not feeling the love. We say that in our house a lot. Somebody says something rude, we'll say, I'm not feeling the love. But, you know, you drive down the street and there's people angry and honking, and God forbid you forget to put your blinker on, and, you know, they may have gestures that they want to do at you, or people in the grocery store are rude. And these may sound like small things, but it's a mirror of the inner condition of people in general that are not pursuing the love of God. And as a mother, I find it very disconcerting. My child was at a basketball game the other day, Alex, my little 7-year-old girl, and she and Jonathan were playing out in the hall, and a little boy ran up to her and grabbed her by the hair and flung her head back really hard. And Jonathan came to her, you know, protection, but this is at a Christian school, and he hurt her, and she was crying. Yeah, well, I thought...
Well, he's seen that. That child's seen that probably at home.
Because the parents are not training the children to walk in love and in the fruit of the Spirit. And it steers the direction of the individual. Like you said, the awakening. I mean, God is love. So we've got to awaken to love.
That's right.
And follow after love. And follow after the fruit of the Spirit. And pursue righteousness. And I just don't... you know, the little girl in the beauty shop, it starts there. That's where it starts. If you love your children, teach them the love of God and the fruit of the Spirit.
Live that before them.
And don't let them be unruly. If you love them, you'll understand how it will impact their life for the negative.
You have to, as mothers, we have to awaken to the call of God on our life. Parents, mothers, dads. Dads, too. It's very important. Awaken to the call to lead and train our children. And on top of that, awaken to the value of the Word and how this has the answers.
That's right.
And you know what? If you are listening to the world's way, you're not going to discipline them, because the world says that's the wrong thing to do. And so you have to awaken to the value of His Word and His wisdom, and awaken to... who you are as their parent. I was reading something, I just read it yesterday, what Mark Barclay said that train up a child means. He said it's like a crease in a pair of pants. You know, when you iron a pair of jeans and you crease them and you crease them, and pretty soon it begins, even when you wash them, that same crease is there. Your jeans go through whatever they go through. That same crease is there. It begins to affect the fabric. It begins to affect the dye that's in the jeans, because you just creased it and creased it and creased it. I thought that was really good.
Because they're doing whatever you're doing, right. And they're
That's
saying
exactly
whatever
right.
you're saying, and they're believing whatever you're believing.
They imitate their parents.
And they're sowing whatever you're sowing, and they're reaping whatever you're reaping. And if you love your children and you want different things, say you didn't have a good childhood, you've got to get in the Word of God. Yeah. Like Terry and Gloria said, you've got to turn the lights on. Mm-hmm. If you're in darkness and you don't, well, I don't know, I wouldn't know where to begin to teach my children to operate in the love of God at school, you know, when they're playing with their friends. Well, then you have to get in the Word until the lights come on, because the answer is in the Word. The truth is in the Word, and the Word of God changes everything.
That's right. And children do imitate their parents, and that's what the Scripture says about us. We're
should.
To imitate God.
That's mm-hmm. true.
We're to be like Him. God is what?
Love.
God is love. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It's ever ready to believe the best of every person. What is it? Takes no account of the evil done to it. Love is forgiving. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong.
It's not rude.
It's not rude or unmannerly. This is the Amplified, I think. Not rude or unmannerly.
or touchy.
Glory to God.
That's a big one in our house. What? You mean touchy? Touchy. Don't
it's
be touchy.
It's not touchy. Oh, that's a big one. This is a big one between brothers, sisters, husbands, wives,
mothers, and children.
You know, at school.
Do not be. Love, it says in the Amplified, is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. Now, I've worked on that very, very hard.
You're not really walking in love till you walk the Amplified version.
That's right. You gotta, to get it, you got to get it in the Amplified version. And I have found out that it saves you, it saves me so much heartache, so much trouble, so much bad stuff. If I just don't let it get to me. You're not touchy, fretful, or resentful. What do you do when somebody does you wrong? What should your parents, what should your children see between you and your spouse when you have a disagreement?
Quick to forgive.
And you're not touchy, you don't slam the door, you don't kick the table, you don't do this or that.
Throw the car keys.
You don't throw something through the window. You just bear up under anything and everything that comes, and you're not touchy, fretful, or resentful. You walk in the love of God, and what happens? You go free.
Mm-hmm.
You are free. Hallelujah. We'll be right back.
I had three girls that went to college, and all three of them had ideas of their own about what God was. They have to know who God is for themselves, not because she taught it to them. And I liken it to weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. And they'll always come back. They'll always come back and serve God if you teach them that God loves them unconditionally. No matter what they've ever done, God still loves them. No matter what they have done, God still loves them. Unconditionally. And when people find out that God loves them unconditionally, they'll run to Him and won't run from Him. And I think that's what you need to instill in your children, is how much God loves them. And I think everything else will come from that, no matter what.
As a mother, it's the most important thing that I do, is to train my children to know God's voice, to listen to His voice in every circumstance and situation. It brings life, healing, health, prosperity to them, keeps them safe.
When your life is filled with questions, it's not easy to let go and let God take over in every area. But no matter your age, your background, your past, or your current circumstances, living a godly life with purpose is within your reach. In her trademark inspiring style, Gloria Copeland gives you the 10 keys to finding your destiny. Embark on a study that will change the course of your life with any one of these three resources. God's Master Plan for Your Life, the New York Times bestseller by Gloria Copeland. Connecting with God's Master Plan for Your Life, the video curriculum and interactive workbook and journal, and God's Master Plan for Your Life, an abridged audiobook read by Gloria Copeland. Each of these study tools is designed to help you discover and connect with God's Master Plan for Your Life. Find real answers to real life questions from a real God. Order your God's Master Plan for Your Life products at a special price, just $12 for the book, $49.95 for the video curriculum with interactive workbook and journal, and $22 for the audiobook on CD. Log on to our website at kcm.org and order online, or call toll-free 800-575-4455. God's plan is exciting and available for you to receive. Find out what He has planned for you today.
Master Plan book and curriculum has 10 keys in it. I may not read all of them today, but about how to fulfill your destiny and to walk out the Master Plan that God has for you. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That is key. If you don't do that, you're not going to get in on the plan. But it's easy. You just give yourself to the Lord, who can be trusted with your life. He will do what's good for you. And then the second one is receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So you ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life. He's the teacher. He comes to live in you and to teach you. It's wonderful to have the Holy Spirit as your teacher. You can sit down with the Bible and he will teach you and he will talk to you. Not even when you're not even reading the Bible, he'll talk to you and teach you. And key three is, and he's ready. He's been sent to live in you and to live in me and to help us, to lead us, to guide us. The third one is trust God's path and believe he has good plans for you. In other words, you trust God. You expect God to lead you and guide you. Now, you don't get, that's called faith. And you don't get that way until you get spend some time in the Word of God and find out what God says he'll do. And whatever he says he will do, he will do. And so then things begin to work for you. That's called faith. You believe that. So get yours today. It'll be a blessing to you and your family. It'll help teach and train your friends, your family. You know, it's good for our prayer meetings where a lot of people are there. But we want to pray for you right now and for your family. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, for a love-ruled home for every family that's listening today. We thank you for revelation of walking in the love of God and in the Word of God to come to every mother and dad and every child in these homes. In Jesus' name we believe, we receive it.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
We're coming to Australia and we're going to be there in Sydney, May the 21st through the 23rd in Brisbane. We're going to be there May the 28th through the 30th. We're looking forward to our visit with our partners in Australia. It's going to be a great meeting. For more information, go to kcm.org. And get in on the meeting. Make plans. Take your time off and come go and get, you know, the Word of God, the preached Word of God will change your life. If you want a change, make a change. Mm-hmm. And so there's nothing more. Ken and I got our lives turned around listening to preaching. We began to learn how to think and how to talk and what to do. We'll see you again tomorrow. This is Gloria Copeland and the girls reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for watching The Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit kcm.org. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland in Australia for these exciting victory campaigns in 2009. Come to the Sydney Victory Campaign from the 21st to 23rd of May at the Sydney Entertainment Center, 35 Harbour Street, Haymarket, Sydney, New South Wales.
Awesome blessing. You come together in that unity and just to see the presence and see the face of Jesus.
Just to be within a stone's throw of where he's actually ministering, I'd recommend to anybody just come and check it out because it's a wonderful experience here.
Come to the Brisbane Victory Campaign from the 28th to the 30th of May at the Brisbane Convention and Exhibition Centre at the corner of Merivale and Glen Elg Street, South Bank, Brisbane, Queensland.
Come into an atmosphere where there's people believing by faith and hearing the word, that you're able to easily just come under that presence with Jesus.
To find out more, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395. The glory will shine in 2009. Come to the West Coast Believers Convention June 29th to July 4th at the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, and Keith Moore for 6 days of dynamic teaching from God's Word. Come expecting an encounter with God. Super Kid Academy with Commander Kelly will be held for children ages 6 through 12. Call 1-800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org.